Last Sunday, we heard from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I just want to read once again, just as is written, the things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. This verse is a favorite verse of mine. And when I look back, I can see how God had a plan for me. When I was a young boy, I could not see it with my eyes. I could not hear about it. I couldn't understand it with my heart. But now I see clearly, after 42 years, God's plan and leading and direction for my life. So I often think about that verse and I preach about that verse, and I want to praise the Lord for the fulfillment of that verse in our lives. You know, the years 1971 to 76 has been very crucial for my life. God changed the direction of my life during those years, and I never forget it. As a young boy, I was attending a local church with my parents in Bangalore, and I heard the gospel, elementary gospel, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior many times, but I did not have the assurance of my salvation. I was looking for someone to help me, and then one day I attended a youth convention. And there a brother showed me a verse from John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name." That day I got faith in the Lord that He accepted me, even though I asked Him many times to come into my heart. And that day I had the assurance that I was saved, that I was born again, and the Lord accepted me as His child. I went home happy, and then I got baptized in water in the same church. We had an American pastor, and I was very shy and timid. And I remember on the day of baptism, I could hardly speak one sentence properly. That's how shy and timid and nervous I was. But I saw the Lord saw my heart, not my words. And after baptism, water baptism, I was attending the church regularly there, and I was brought up in a very protective home, and in my house even radio was not permitted. As I grew up, I was exposed to the world, and I was tempted in several ways. I slowly began to backslide, as I was not getting the word of God, and I didn't have much fellowship with God-fearing people. Slowly I began to do things without the knowledge of my parents, and I became frustrated. I couldn't concentrate on my studies. I wasn't happy. If not for the mercy and the grace of God, I would have ended my life. Outwardly I was okay, but inside it was really bad. I backslid to such an extent that I made up my mind to go right into the world and enjoy the pleasure of sin. But the Lord did not let me go away. It was at that time, I still remember, I think in 1974, that I attended a youth camp. And there the Lord really touched me and changed my life, changed the direction of my life. I repented of my backslidden condition. And even though I went away from the Lord, He did not judge me. He won my heart with His love. That's why I often sing this song, "He touched me." Yes, He touched me. Oh, the joy that blessed my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me. I never get bored of singing that song. Once again, I committed my life to the Lord. I decided at that time no longer to be double-minded, but to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. It is in that youth camp later on. I went 3 times for that youth camp, 3 years in succession. And just there, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I just want to say one more thing. I was seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord prompted me to go and ask forgiveness for my mother because a couple of times I had spoken harshly to her. And until I asked forgiveness from her, I didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I delayed in asking for forgiveness and so I lost some time. But the next year, I decided to go and ask her for forgiveness, and in that camp I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was in 1976. And even though I was attending my local church, I wasn't getting spiritual nourishment from the Word of God. We had many foreign pastors and professors from Bible college preaching, but I didn't get any spiritual food for my growth. Spiritually, I was starving, though I was busy with several activities in the church. I was lonely. I was longing for fellowship. I couldn't find fellowship. Then sometimes on Sunday evenings, I and my friend would quietly sneak out of the church, and I knew one church in Fraser Town. It's called Emmanuel Church on Pottery Road near Bangalore East Railway Station. Brother Ian was the assistant pastor there along with the foreign pastor, and Brother Zach used to minister the word there, and they used to have good singing and music, and then Brother Zach used to speak the word there. So I used to tell my friend, let's go there. And that's how I started going there and hearing God's word. And later on I heard that there was a problem in the church, and Brother Zach and Brother Ian left the church and began to meet in Brother Zach's house. I was still attending my local church, and my brother, he was attending the meeting in Brother Zach's house, and once he brought a cassette and played in my home and also invited me to attend some special meeting. And I was coming on and off to Brother Zach's house, though not regularly. And then I heard some wonderful truths that challenged my life. I heard that Jesus is a forerunner and he was tempted like us in all points, and yet he did not sin. And that we too can follow Jesus in the time of temptation and not yield to sin. I was very much encouraged by the truth, and that how Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient, and the Lord is looking for those who will humbly follow Jesus without title, honor, and those who will make it their lifelong ambition to learn meekness and lowliness from Jesus. I also heard that we should not be children but press on to maturity, and that we should be faithful in eternal life and grow in spiritual life, and that God's ultimate purpose was to conform us to the image of Jesus. Oh, I was really blessed by the truth that God works all things for our good. And we also heard a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gift of prophecy to build the church. I remember clearly Brother Zach speaking from 1 Corinthians 14, and that really went into my heart. And I also heard a lot that we don't have to be slaves of sin, that sin need not rule over us, that we can have victory over sin, as we often heard in Romans 6:14. For the first time in my life, I heard that we can get victory over anger, that we can get victory over all our lustful and impure thoughts, that we can get victory over lying, that we can get victory over all unloving attitudes, that we can get victory over living before the face of men, that we can get victory over anxiety, that we can get victory over the love of money, that we can overcome all pride and rebellion and arrogance, that we can overcome jealousy and envy, that we can overcome judging others, that we can overcome the world and the devil. And I remember very vividly Brother Zach speaking from Matthew 5, 6 and 7 and said that if you hear and obey the words of Jesus, that our house can be built on a rock. I said, Lord, that's what I want in my life. And I also heard that we can be free from all grumblings and murmurings, and that we can learn to give thanks in everything. Those days we used to have a good time of praise and worship, even though we didn't have much musical instruments. And that is, we can say, the first truth we heard was the mystery of godliness. And the second great truth I heard was about the mystery of the church. I heard the call of God for His people to come out of Babylon, which I never heard anyone preach. I heard that Babylon is a religious system, mixture of God and money, mixture of God and entertainment, mixture of God and music, and that God wanted a pure testimony, and that God was building Jerusalem. I heard a lot about discipleship, and that the Lord wants disciples and not just converts. I heard that the Lord is building a church, the body of Christ, and not a congregation. And the Lord is gathering disciples who can be built up into the body of Christ, irrespective of language, community, education, etc. And we also heard that in the church, this the importance of fellowship. That Jesus said, those who hear and obey His word, they are His true brothers and sisters. We heard that the Lord wants to have fellowship with His disciples, and that God is building the body of Christ where there is unity, love, peace, cooperation, and no competition. And I heard about New Covenant that blessed my heart, that God will write His laws in our heart and mind. So, after hearing all this truth, I was convinced that CFC is the place I must go every Sunday. So I went to my American pastor and told him that I'm interested in obeying the word of God. That I said, I don't have anything against anyone in this church, but I want to grow spiritually. And that I wanted to go to this place in Brother Zach's house. Of course, he wasn't happy at all. In fact, the pastor's wife said, leaving a responsibility here and going to some other place, that's not a sign of obedience. I didn't even ask my dad for permission to come to CFC. Those days we were meeting at Brother Zach's house. We didn't have much music. And you know, not many people want to go to a church where the church meeting is in a house. And usually people want a good building. But I wasn't bothered about a big building because I wanted freedom from sin. And I wanted fellowship. And I was quite happy. And you know, I never regret the decision I made those days. I know I had many friends in the church, but they didn't want to come here. And finally, I quietly left and came to CFC. You know, almost all the Christian groups those days were emphasizing evangelism and missionary work. But in CFC, I heard a lot about discipleship and overcoming sin and building the body of Christ. Even though initially I was not so sure which is the right thing, I submitted to the teaching of God's word in CFC. For example, it's written in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And you know, for some time after I came to CFC, I stopped listening to what other Christian preachers were preaching. That helped me not to get confused, but be grounded in the truth I was hearing in the church. That also gave me stability and understand the work God was doing in building the body of Christ in India. I was immensely blessed by the fellowship of brothers and sisters. Those days we were not conscious of time. We had so much time for fellowship, and we would talk and talk for hours about the Lord and various spiritual matters. As I look back, I really want to praise the Lord for His leading, guidance, and for leading me to the right place. Especially the Lord led me to Brother Zach and Brother Ian in my youth, and that changed the direction of my life. And for the last 40 years, the Lord gave me grace to be under their authority and to be part of the work God is doing in building up the body of Christ. And I want to say, as long as God gives me grace, I want to be a disciple. I don't want sin to rule over me. I want to obey the word of God. And that's what we teach in the church. We want to build a church that's built on a rock. Jesus said, I will build my church And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I wanted to be part of the church. Even though the place where I was going earlier, it was well organized. And we had, humanly speaking, many interesting things. But I was not impressed at all. I wanted God's word. And God builds the church with wholehearted disciples, humble people. And I am extremely thankful to God for what He has done in the last 42 years. And I pray, I want to especially encourage all of you young brothers and sisters and those who have come newly. Learn to get focus. Learn to get direction in your life. The Bible says we should not be like children tossed to and fro. You know, many people, they don't submit authority. They don't listen to spiritual authority over their life. That's why they're always confused. And I want to testify that if you submit to spiritual authority, there'll be your blessing of God in your life. There'll be spiritual growth. And God will make you useful. And God will give you growth. And that's the important thing that, as we've often heard, everywhere God's people are children. It's what in CFC heard, that we should press on to perfection. And for the last 42 years, I've heard that we must grow in the Lord. And that's my desire, to grow in the Lord more than activity or ministry. I want to grow in the Lord. I want the word of God to be fulfilled in my life. And I want to give my hand in fellowship, in humility, in faithfulness. And may the Lord continue to build His church. And may the Lord help many of you young brothers and sisters to become stable, faithful, wholehearted brothers and sisters, and support the work of God here in India. Amen.
We sang just now that song, "Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame." You know, it's only the person who doesn't feel the shackles and the heavy burden is the one who is dead. A dead person doesn't feel any weight. It's only the living who feel that. And Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience." Jesus, when Nicodemus came in the night to meet him, he told him, John chapter 3, verse 3. You know, Nicodemus came and told him, "Master, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs which you do unless God is with him." He's beating around the bush, and Jesus doesn't mince words. He straight away comes to the point and, as it were, hits the bullseye. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And in verse 7 again, he says, "You must be born again." And this scholar, he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And I had read this as a child, this verse, a number of times, and I didn't know what it was to be born again. Because I grew up in a church which never believed in being born again. And nobody explained this to me. And I was also grown up in a protected family and under a godly mother, and went to all Sunday school and used to win prizes and all that and took confirmation. I thought everything was okay with me. And I didn't know what it was to be born again until somebody asked me one day a point blank question. He asked me, "Suppose you die tonight, where will your soul go?" And I had no answer. I was not sure whether I'll go this side or that side. Then he asked me to come and meet him next day. I went along with two of my friends, and he explained to me the gospel, quoting about 50 to 60 verses to just to convince me that I was a sinner. I was not able to accept that because I grew up in a very godly family. I thought everything is all right with me. And when he explained the gospel like that to me with 50 to 60 verses, I was convinced that I was a sinner. No longer a righteous Pharisee. I had to come down from my pedestal, knelt down. I asked the Lord to forgive me. God in His mercy forgave my sins, cleansed and washed me, and made me His child. That was in 1974. And since then, I used to run here, run there to listen to gospel messages and big preachers. And then I came to know about Brother Zach in the 70s. I used to listen to his radio program. And every time I used to listen to him, it used to bless me. And I had a great longing to come and meet Brother Zach and to be part of his fellowship. And I knew that he had started, meeting in his house. And then I came to Bangalore, and after I came here, I went to different places, different believers' groups, churches, to listen to God's messages. But nowhere I was satisfied, nowhere my heart's longings were met. And then I decided I'll go to CFC. That was way back in 1980, when Brother Newton and I incidentally happened to meet in an interview, where neither of us got the job, but we are here in CFC. And since then, there is no looking back. And I told the elders where I used to go, that I want to go to Brother Zach's fellowship, and they warned me, be careful, because he's a cultist, he's a heretic, you know, all sorts of things. And the more I listened to him, the more I felt that these guys are the cultists, and these guys are the heretics. Because one mark of a heretic I read in Titus, one mark of a heretic, Titus says in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, it says a heretic, verse 10 and verse 11, sins. A factious man is sinning, or a heretic man is sinning. When I heard from Brother Zach, freedom from sin, victory over sin, when he is preaching something that is scriptural, overcoming sin, and these guys living in sin, practicing sin, I thought this is a heresy where I was born and brought up and where I was attending all these years. I think this is the place I should come. And those days they were meeting in Brother Zach's house in a corner, not big buildings like Brother Newton was telling. I left all those big buildings, came and joined this little handful of people who were gathering in his house. And every time I used to go there, I used to cycle all the way from Koramangala to his house and come and listen. And those days in the 80s, I think we had evening meetings there because of the public sector strikes and all that. The meetings were changed because many of our brothers used to work in public sector companies, and the meetings were changed from morning to evening meetings. So I used to attend morning somewhere, then I used to come evening here. And then this is how I got in touch with CFC and started growing. You see, people come with different intentions to church. Many people join a church so that their children can be brought up in a nice way, and that they can have a place of burial, By the way, we didn't have any burial site in those days. And people used to warn me, be careful, be in this thing where, you know, you can get married and you can get buried. Like some people say, people attend church only 3 times in their life, when they are hatched and matched and dispatched. And I saw in Luke 16, there was a man who was dispatched, but he went to hell. Luke 16. You know this story about the rich man and Lazarus. It says that in verse 22, 16:22. Now it came about that the poor man died, that is Lazarus, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. There is no indication, no, it is not written as to whether Lazarus was buried, but it says that the rich man was buried. He had a grand funeral. Probably the high priest or the rabbi must have come and spoken some nice words about this guy who was living a pompous life, well dressed, eating good food, but this man Lazarus at his gate, waiting for the crumbs that were falling from his table to eat. And it never mentions that he had a decent burial, even ordinary burial. It doesn't even say that the corporation people took him. I have a feeling probably the dogs that were licking him probably finished him off. But this man went to recline at Abraham's bosom, and the other fellow who had a grand burial went to hell. And from there he's looking up and then asking Abraham to send this beggar to dip his finger and put a drop on his tongue to quench his, you know, thirst in hell. Imagine, in life we despise the Dalits, the scheduled castes and scheduled tribe, and you, but high caste man, when you see the Dalit in hell, in heaven, reclining at the bosom of Abraham, you will wish that he would come and put a drop of water on your tongue. Better repent that about that now and be reconciled before you land up this side or that side. And I was also thinking about this morning as I was reading, I got this verse from 2 Peter 2:1. It says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. See, another mark of a heretic or a heresy is that they deny the master and they bring swift destruction upon themselves. You know, when Jesus was on earth, they called him false prophet. They called him demon possessed. They also called him, said about him that he casts out demons through the help of Beelzebul. And even after Jesus was resurrected and he ascended to heaven, when his disciples started ministering the gospel throughout the world, even they were called in Acts 24 verse 14, even their teaching was called a cult or a sect. The way, but this I admit to you, when Paul is standing before Felix the governor, he is stating, I admit to you that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that's in accordance with the law and the prophets. You see, even those days they called the teachings of Jesus Christ a sect. And whenever a true servant of God preaches hygienic words from God's word, as it is written, without mincing words, without compromising, without playing it down. People call such a person, you know, radical or whatever, heretic, fanatic or lunatic, whatever. But it is to these despised group, or with that group, the Lord is. I want to know where the Lord is, whether it is in a house gathering or in a hut. I would like to be there with God's people, where God is, not in these big, big, pompous buildings, where God is not. In many churches, I believe today, the Lord is outside, like He was outside, as we read in Revelation. And stand at the door and knock. I believe in many churches, Jesus is outside the door, knocking. But today, when you come here to CFC and you hear words of eternal life from godly brothers, what's your response? You come here just to warm the chair or just to ease your conscience that I attended church. No, nowhere in the Bible we are told to go to church. You know, we are called to be the church. We are part of it. We don't have to go to church. We can be church. Because the church is the body of Christ wherever you are. As long as the Lord is living in you, as long as the Lord is working in you, as long as the Lord is speaking to your heart, you know, you are the church. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What is the truth? Truth is God's word. Jesus also said, "I am the truth." When you know Jesus and His teachings, you know that this is like Peter said, "Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He called him Satan, and yet he said, "Lord, where shall we go?" This should be our attitude, brothers and sisters. You may hear some very sharp words here in this church, but it's up to you. You can either get offended and go, or you can, like Peter, say, "These are the words of eternal life. Where shall I go?" No. One mark of false teacher or false teaching is that Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." And when I observed the lives of our elders here initially, I saw their life. It was so transparent, their family life and the way they used to interact with one another, their co-workers in different places. That challenged me. There's something truth here. It's not, you know, just an organization. Church is not an organization. It's a living organism. There is life in it. What's the point in having a grand building and having an all organized setup where there is no life, where Jesus is outside? See, this is the place that the Lord brought me, and I have never looked back, and not a day have I ever regretted coming here. You know, Peter says, one last word I want to close with. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." See, to those who were born again, to them he says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word of God, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Our salvation is not just when I'm born again, when I repent and I confess my sins and accept Jesus as my Savior. That is not my full salvation. That's only a birth. It's a new birth that God imparts to us. And just imagine when a baby is born in this world and the baby says, yeah, that's it. How many babies say like that? The baby has to feed itself on the milk day by day and then start to turn over and then crawl, then try to stand up, try to walk, take baby steps, then keep on taking nourishment, keep on increasing in stature and wisdom, go to school, study, then get a job, and like that we grow in life. This is how we are to grow. It says there is a growth in salvation. It is not just that I was born again on a certain day, but since then, till the Lord comes or till we breathe our last, till then we are to grow. How do I grow? Through the Word of God, through fellowship, through prayer, through teaching, and by being connected to the one who said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bear much fruit, and thus you shall glorify the Father. May God bless us.